Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
The Boston Lyric Opera this week is staging the East Coast premiere of The Handmaid's Tale as an opera. Like the hit Hulu series, it's based on Margaret Atwood's 1985 novel by the same name. Atwood imagined a totalitarian future state in which most women are infertile, and the few who can bear children are forced into sexual servitude as handmaids to powerful men. And when Atwood envisioned the setting for her dystopia, she pictured Cambridge, Massachusetts. That makes the local production, on Harvard's campus, a homecoming for Atwood's story. That's just one of the things I discussed recently with Esther Nelson, the Boston Lyric Opera's artistic director, and Paul Reuters, who composed the opera more than two decades ago. I began by asking Reuters why he turned The Handmaid's Tale into an opera long before it became a cultural phenomenon.
Because it's got so many emotional layers, and opera and emotion always should go hand in hand, because that's what music can do to any story, add the extra tier, so to speak. And besides, it's the message in the novel was and is, sadly enough, more relevant than ever.
This opera of yours premiered almost two decades ago, yeah. And yet this is the first time that it's been staged on the Northeast, and certainly the first time at Harvard. And we know that Margaret Atwood maybe envisioned this taking place at Harvard.
Basically, yeah, that's where the story unfolds in the first place.
So what's the significance of that for you? This must feel like a kind of a homecoming.
In a way it is, but I guess it's more a homecoming for Margaret Atwood. To me, it's more an added bonus that things really came together that first of all, I must say I'm extremely grateful for the Boston Lyric Opera to have picked up this very, very talented and probably not inexpensive piece, and to launch it at precisely the same place where the story began. I'm one happy composer, that is for sure.
And Esther, I'm curious, from your perspective as the artistic director, how does the music and the storyline of The Handmaid's Tale as an opera compare to some of the more traditional operas that you've worked on?
I think I look at every opera individually, and it either resonates or it doesn't. And I think we might forget sometimes some of the operas that we today consider sort of traditional operas were anything but when they premiered in their day. So I think opera actually as an inherently rebellious type of art form in many ways. So when I heard this particular opera first, I was immediately taken by it, by its musical language, by the drive of the emotional force, and it's just been a desire ever since to find the opportunity to do it. It's a very large opera. And so you need a space in which to do it, which can be challenging when you don't have an appropriate venue.
Well, let me ask you a bit about the venue, because you're staging it at the basketball arena at Harvard University, which is an unusual arena for an opera, but there's a particular reason why that is a fitting setting. Explain that.
Right. It's the Leavitt's basketball court at Harvard. And the story itself, in fact, on the first page, Margaret Atwood talks about the protagonist, actually, Alfred, talks about the Red Center, which is sort of the indoctrination center of the handmaids. And she describes it even as a gymnasium and a former place where basketball was played.
And it'll be this really immersive experience, I understand, for the audience as well, where they're sort of seated in the round around the stage for the whole thing.
And lots of sharp, lots of barbed wire and gray, ugly, hard concrete. It's perfect, perfect.
Let me ask you about one of the challenges, I imagine, in the composition, Paul, which is how you sort of convey to the audience that you're flashing back and forth between the present day in the Republic of Gilead and the time before this sort of totalitarian government has taken over. Because, you know, on screen, for example, there are certain, you know, cues that you can do. You can literally use a flash to convey that or whatnot. I mean, you don't have that. So how do you do it musically?
It, I mean, it was a challenge. Of course, it was a challenge. But, I guess somebody would say that I chose the easy way out. I mean, the music, that what goes on in the time before Gilead is sort of slightly happy-go-lucky, minimalist, vaudeville. I mean, there's a smile on its face, so to speak. Whereas as soon as we are into the oppressive world of Gilead, the music changes completely and it's hard and relentless.
Let's take a little bit of a listen to that hard and relentless music that you're talking about. So take us inside that a little bit, Paul. I mean, what is there a moment in the book, remember reading, that inspires that part of it? Or how do you hear that sort of really dark and foreboding music coming through in the novel?
I have music tumbling around in the back of my sordid composer's mind all the time. I actually orchestrate a full orchestra sometimes when I read a novel. As a composer, it's impossible for me to explain in words why it sounds the way it does. It just comes naturally to me.
Esther, I want to ask you about a challenge that I imagine too, which is how you bring something new to what has become a pretty well-known story, right? I mean, as I mentioned earlier, The Handmaid's Tale has become a real cultural phenomenon. Even if you haven't seen the Hulu series, I think you're aware of the plot. Maybe you've read the book. Perhaps you've seen women in costume at the Women's March, for example. So how do you bring something new to the story in 2019?
And you're right, it's iconic now, really, the story, but largely because of the Hulu series, I believe. And that's a conversation I had right away with the stage director, and we were fortunate to have one of the most visionary stage directors, Anne Bogart, with us, as to how are we taking the story and really going back essentially to what is at the heart of the opera, first of all, and the novel. So you have to disengage from what it has become and focus on what it is that we're dealing with, which is the opera and the story. And our stage director very consciously steered away from wanting to imitate, if you will, the Hulu series, because this is a stage work. It's intimate. It's real. You're not looking at a screen. You have to have a sense of being right there in the midst of this terrible story. And that's the power, and always has been, of opera, that the audience feels what the characters feel.
You know the rules for a participation. You wait for the whistle. What you do then is up to you until I blow the whistle again.
It's that direct emotional communication that hits in the heart at that moment.
And I imagine there must be a tremendous emotional challenge to it as well. I'm mindful that your director, Anne Bogart, recently told the Boston Herald that, quote, something cataclysmic happens on stage every 3 or 4 minutes, and she's hardly being hyperbolic there. And, I mean, you've got really heavy themes here. I mean, there's brutal violence, there's rape, there's death. I mean, what is the mental taxation on your cast members, and how do they deal with that?
We have to also take care of the fact, as producers, that these roles are challenging emotionally and everyone deals with it in their own space. So we have to be sensitive and responsive to any artist who might have a challenge with a certain role. And we actually have professionals working with us in that capacity. But I will say, in all of this darkness, as many, many good novels and operas, it is also a work that has hope. Because, in fact, it is the protagonist here, Offred, who ultimately finds the courage to rise up against this oppression. We don't quite know whether she makes it, but we do get to the point where we know she has decided enough is enough. And to me, that's also the power of these works, that she is a very ordinary woman. And it is those people who rise up against oppression tend to often be very ordinary people who don't set out to be heroes. And that's also the powerful message and positive message of works of art like this, that we are all capable of rejecting oppression.
I did not!
That's Boston Lyric Opera artistic director Esther Nelson and composer Paul Reuters. The Handmaid's Tale Opera runs through Sunday. More information is on our website, radioboston.org. And that's our show for today. Radio Boston is a production of 90.9 WBUR, Boston's NPR news station. I'm Callum Borchers. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.